everybody? Welcome back to another segment of House of J. This is your host with the most, Trey Dismute. Yo, and I just want to say I hope everybody is having a fantastic day. I hope you are expressing your gratitude towards the people around you and showing them some true love, y'all. It is Friday, the end of the work week for a lot of people, man, and I hope and you're able to get everything done you need to and get prepared for the weekend to be able to relax, man, and have a great time with your family and friends. Yo, and I hope I'm able to be a part of it as I impart some more wisdom up on each and every one of you to be able to show you some love, y'all. You don't understand how much I love you guys. I'm enjoying the feedback. I thank you for all the messages I receive and the motivation that you guys are giving me. And just somebody even wrote me to tell me that they were actually inspired, man. Like, and that's what I love to hear, because I know God has given me this. He's given me this tool to be able to reach people that I need to reach and be able to impart the wisdom that has been imparted in me. And yo, let me tell you, man, I have had some phenomenal conversations this week. They have been some deep ones, man, that I've really had to think. And I was asked a question about offense and how is it possible that I don't have such a reaction to offense. And it made me realize that is one of the biggest things people struggle with. And what I want to talk about today is how to become unoffendable and the steps that you can take towards being all that God has created you to be and everything that He has called you to be in your life and in your family's life. So, yo, do not go anywhere, y'all. We are going to be right back on the House of J. Yo, what up, everybody? Welcome back to this segment of House of J. This is your host with the most, Trey Dismute. Yo, and like I said, y'all, today we are going to talk about how to become unoffendable. And what I mean by that is you have to understand, man, that in our lives and in the things that we're going through, whether it's our workplace or with our family or things that's going on, the offense is gonna be there, the opportunity for offense, but we have to learn about becoming unoffendable. And we gotta also ask us the question that even though we have these things going on in our life, these situations, circumstances, people saying things to us, we have to ask ourselves, does it give us the right to be offended? And I had to really ask myself that, and I also asked that of others. Like, do we really feel like we have the right to be offended? And a lot of the answers that I've gotten, and not surprisingly, have been yes. That there is a justification and there's a fine line to what we feel is a more legitimate offense and an illegitimate offense. And a legitimate offense is going to be, you know, those that have, like, truly been mistreated. Like, if somebody really mistreated you, in your mind, you feel like it may be legitimate. But then you have illegitimate offenses, and those are when you think or you feel, you know, that you've been mistreated. And now those are the people who believe that somebody can make them act a certain way. And you have to realize that when you allow somebody to offend you, then you're allowing them and inviting them to have control over you and your emotions and your thinking and your actions. And the Bible tells us that a man that cannot rule his own spirit is like a city without walls. So we have to learn to control ourselves, control the things that's going on with us, because we cannot get other people to respect us if we can't even respect our own decisions. And what I've learned, like, honestly with the spirit of offense, what I have learned is that the spirit of offense, it grows fastest in spiritually dry places. And the people who I've realized that get the most offended and spend the most time worrying about offense and how they were offended are the people who spend the least amount of time with Jesus. And that's in worship and you know, in the word and in prayer, but doing it genuinely. Because some people do it, but they don't do it genuinely. But let me tell you, if you allow the spirit of offense to take over everything that is going on with you, it'll steal your joy, it'll kill your peace, and your relational life will be dead. So one of the ways, or one of the reasons rather, that I've learned that even though people read the word and things are going on, but they still aren't changing or becoming better, is because the word, it gets in our head but not in our heart. And one of the best ways to get over offense is we gotta learn to walk in truth. That's number one. And in Romans in 12:2, it tells us that we have to be changed by the renewing of our mind. Like we gotta be transformed by the renewing of our mind, and we cannot conform to the patterns of the world. Because honestly, when you think about what this offense is and what offense causes over time, it causes paranoia and it causes us to believe a delusion. And the whole purpose of the enemy is to lead us into an identity crisis, because Satan tries to put us in situations and circumstances that are beneath the promises of God. And so we have these thoughts, we have these things going on in our life. And so the way we try to combat it is not with the word. We sit here and we use our mind. So we're trying to take a thought captive with another thought. And we can't do that. All we're doing, and I know, because like my son, right? My son is real young. So he's still in the age where, you know, they play with Play-Doh and different things like that. And if I watch him, like I saw him playing with Play-Doh one time, and he was like pushing pieces together, and that's how it is with a thought. It just made one big Play-Doh, but that's how thoughts are. When you try to take a thought and captivate it with another thought, and it just becomes one thought. It doesn't change anything. It doesn't strengthen you. It doesn't help you become better or actually get you out of the realm of thinking it. The only way we can combat it or come against the thought is by coming with it with something that is firm and consecrated. And there is nothing more consecrated than the word of God. And I'm going to tell you, listen, the best thing I have learned to do with the fence is this, right? I let them go before they happen. And this is why. We make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. And this was in Colossians when Paul was talking, right? And I love the two words in that scripture is make allowance. It means to give margin, like to provide leeway or leave a gap or create a space. And the Bible is telling us to create a space in our life and in our world for other people to make mistakes. This means everyone in your life and in your world who offends you must be let off the hook. Not should be, they must be. Everyone, period. So you have to leave some margin for the errors of other people in your life to make mistakes, because God has done the same for you. While, you know, hurtful actions may offend you, don't let a one-time offense cause you a lifetime of pain. Let it go and move on with your life. When we were at our worst, right, Christ gave up his perfect life for our flawed ones. And he has already made up in his mind. Like he already had made up in his mind that's what he was going to do. And he has not only forgiven our past mistakes, but our future ones too. So your greatest opportunity to be like Jesus is when you're being offended. If you could see the full picture of the person who has offended you, has been through, then you would understand what they said to you has very little to do with you and a lot more to do with the brokenness they have experienced from somebody else. This is why we have to make allowance for each other's faults. Like, because if not, we only respond emotionally with a limited perspective on their life and on ours. So yes, we have to forgive them. We have to forgive dad. We got to forgive mom. You got to forgive your teacher, ex-boyfriend, ex-girlfriend, ex-spouse, your current one. You got to forgive your siblings, your old boss, your old friend, your coach, your last pastor. You got to forgive the person who called you a racial slur. Forgive the police, the government, even the president. Let it go. Let it go. And give all of the above the allowance of grace extended to your life by an almighty God. And I really want you to think about, who do you need to make allowance for? We have to remember the offenses that we've been forgiven for, right? So we have to learn to forgive people so that our Father may forgive us continually and completely. When Peter approached Jesus and asked how many times he should forgive, he said 7 times, right? And he asked that because of the practices of that time and of the law. And what Jesus told him was 70 times 7 times he should forgive. And that's what? About 490 times a day that you should forgive somebody. So as our Father will forgive us continually and completely, we should be forgiving others continually and completely as well. And what it makes me realize is, as a Christ follower, I don't have any rights, especially the right to be offended. So do we have a right to be offended? No, we don't. We have to learn to pick up our cross daily. And listen, don't pick it up unless you intend on dying on it. Because we must die to ourselves daily. And a lot of times, forgiveness is one of the biggest things people struggle with. And if you can't forgive, let me tell you something. If you can't forgive, it is not strong. That's not a strong attribute. It's a weak one. It truly is. And so I'm shift it a little bit and I'm going to help you out, right? So in Luke 15, right, Jesus tells a story about a man who had 2 sons and he divided his inheritance. A lot of people know it. It's the prodigal son, right? And the younger of the 2 brothers, like, he squandered his inheritance on what the Bible describes as, you know, reckless living. He hit rock bottom and he decided to come home. So he thought his dad would be full of disappointment. But when he arrived, the father ran to him, kissed him, and began throwing a party for the son who had gone prodigal. So when the party began, the Bible makes it crystal clear that the older brother was not happy about his younger brother's homecoming party. So while we are happy for the son who was lost and became found, I think there will always be a part of us that relates to the older brother who just honestly wanted to be celebrated himself. So what the father tells him in response to his resentment is this. He said, he could have thrown a party anytime he wanted. That just because people are not throwing, you know, the party you want them to throw for you, doesn't mean you have any reason to refuse to attend another person's party. So if somebody gets more social media attention than you, join the party. If somebody else gets the compliment you long for, join the party. If somebody gets better, nicer, newer stuff than you do, join the party. If somebody advances in their career, go to the party. If somebody finds a spouse before you, go to the party. It doesn't matter what it is. And I don't mean go to the party like physically and be distant and emotionally. It's possible to be somewhere and not be there at the same time. But what I mean is, really go to the party. When you refuse to celebrate other people and their achievements, you'll begin to boil in like this phantom discouragement and become offended when you should be celebrating. The older brother in this story, he let that phantom discouragement I'm talking about allow him to believe that his dad, which is a good dad, that he was a bad dad for what he was doing. And here's the deal. Whether you had a good dad, bad dad, or no dad, forgive him. Forgive the people in your life who have hurt you, because not letting it go is only serving as a poison to your own destiny, not theirs. You know, one of the most popular quotes, at least to me, came from Martin Luther King. And what really stuck out to me and what was encouraging was not just his intellect, but his spirit and his approach on different things that were going on in the world, especially in his time. And what he said was, he said that we must develop and maintain the capacity to forgive. That he who is devoid of the power to forgive is devoid of the power to love. That there is some good in the worst of us and some evil in the best of us. And when we discover this, we are less prone to hate our enemies. And we have to get to that place where we realize that, so we're able to, like I said, make those allowances for people each and every day that we're going through, to be able to understand that we don't have a right to be offended about the things that are going on. And look, let me tell you this too. One of the side effects of offense is that it can cause you to live a life where you avoid doing anything that can solicit offense. And what I mean is, like, you don't dream anymore because the last time you did, someone says something offensive. So whatever they said replays in your mind anytime you think about pursuing a dream. And, like, I often wonder about, like, the mental and spiritual barriers that Peter, like, must have had to get over before he walked on water. Like, what will the disciples think of him? Like, what if he drowns? Like, because that had to take courage. But those barriers were overcome by the curiosity of who he could be and what he could do. So this curiosity led him stepping out of his comfort zone and stepping into the unknown. So yes, Peter almost drowned. Yes, Jesus saved him. Yes, you know, Peter had his doubts. And yes, Peter should not have his eyes on the winds and the waves. And he should have fixed his eyes on Jesus, you know, if you read the story. And yes, Peter should have had more faith and less doubt in his best friend. But listen, don't miss the best part of the story. For Peter walked an unknown, you know, amount of feet to Jesus and almost drowned. And when we know the storm, you know, did not cease until they got back into the boat. So what we can conclude from this is that Jesus and Peter, they walked back through the storm together. And Peter got something in the deep water he could not get in the safety of the boat. And he got a walk to remember. Now, Peter had every logical reason to play small. And where would his logic have gotten him? Like, where is it getting you? Like, every offense you have ever experienced was designed to keep you in the boat. Whatever you do, don't allow offenses to make you play small. My hope and prayer is that you would not allow, like, past hurts to keep you from future dreams. My hope and prayer is that you would forgive the people who have offended you already, and the people in your future who inevitably will. It's going to happen. It's like they say, it's not if, but when. That's how you need to look at offense. But you can learn how to handle it. And my hope and prayer is that there would be a moment in your life where you and Jesus have a walk to remember, the same way that Peter did with Jesus. And no matter how bad the storm, I pray that you would never walk through any type of storm in your life, or attempt to walk through any type of storm in your life, without Jesus. And one of the things I'm realizing, especially when it comes to offense, and one of the main reasons that it was so pressing on me and that I had to keep going to God, was I've realized that one of the saddest things about this is that some people are waiting for an apology that may never come in order to move on. So, like, honestly, can I apologize for the offender right now, whoever it is in your life? I want to apologize for the offender, whatever happened, whatever they did to you. And you have to realize God wants you to move on so badly, but he doesn't want you to move on without healing. So I am truly sorry for everything and for every person who has ever hurt you. I'm sorry for every person who never showed up for you. I'm sorry for the racism you've experienced. I'm sorry for the sexual abuse. I'm sorry for the verbal abuse. I'm sorry that they left. I'm sorry that they let you go. I'm sorry that they didn't choose you. I'm sorry. But can we invite God into this area? Will you give God your pain? Like, your pain does not have to be a prison. Your pain has a purpose, and managing it yourself can be exhausting. And I want you to allow God to free you from all the moments where no one encouraged you. I want you to allow God to free you from all the things that have been said to you and all the things not said enough to you. Like, holding on to that offense, that pain, it's ruining your future. And one of the ways we become free from offense is by taking the initiative in becoming the type of person that you want others to be for you. So if you have been longing to be encouraged, noticed, and appreciated, then go find somebody who is discouraged, unnoticed, and unappreciated, and be everything to them that you have always longed to have for yourself. Choose to encourage others like crazy. Highlight the small, wonderful details about them. Appreciate what others bring to the table. Like, there may be an unresolved tension between you and someone that you love, all because you feel unnoticed, unappreciated, and undervalued by them. But stop allowing offense to put a wedge between you and those you love. Do your part. Notice them. Appreciate them. Value them. And whatever you do, don't live another day of your life stifled by the poison of offense. I pray for each and every person out there that you will come to a place of a true realization of yourself, and that you were made for a greater purpose and not for common use. You do not have to fall victim to the spirit of offense anymore, and we will bind it right now in the name of Jesus. I love each and every person that is able to listen to this. I pray that you will continue to share it to help you come to a place where you will become greater than what you have been and be able to see yourself for what you could be and not what you are. I love each and every one of you guys. I pray that you have a fantastic day. I'm hoping I was able to impart some wisdom into somebody and help them move to the next level of becoming unoffendable.